Hey there, and welcome to another, perhaps the first part of the philosophy of astrology class. I have previously recorded the conversation with Andrew McLuhan, and I'm working my way up to a video presentation, but right now the notes that I have and the ideas that I have coming from them, or one way or the other, seem to lend themselves better to audio. We'll get to a visual part of this at some point. But I want to just kind of get this rolling and pull together some of the things that I've been thinking. The question is one that is avoided for the most part by astrology. That is to say, the question of this curriculum, this class, the philosophy of astrology, which is, how do astrologers know what they claim to know? Astrologers make a lot of really bold statements. Some make predictions. Some make declarative judgments about other people. And the question is, how do you go from a bunch of glyphs and dots, numbers, lines on a page to some form of an assessment, some form of a reasoning process or declaration about what that chart says? Most astrology jumps right in and concerns itself with the immediate extraction of meaning that is supposed to be based on, for example, if Mars is in Aries, then you will be insecure, and if Venus is in Gemini, you will be polyamorous and so forth and various things like that. And some of those things can be surprisingly on point. One of the funniest things I ever read in an astrology book was in Debbie Kempton Smith's Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook. Under her entry about Venus and Taurus, which I happen to have, and she said, "Venus and Taurus, these people like to go to the same restaurant every night and order the same thing." And I just laughed because that's exactly what I do. And I ran that past Michael Luton, and he said, "Well, it makes sense." So I thought about it for a while, and it does make sense. But the question is how she got there. And of course, that's a relatively innocuous statement, right? It's not going to harm anyone. And if it's wrong. You forget you even read it. Astrology usually aspires to make more complicated pronouncements and to analyze events. And there are a series of mental steps that an astrologer goes through to arrive at that conclusion or that observation or prediction or whatever it might be. I'm going to get into those, but I want to go back closer to the beginning of the enterprise of reading at all, and describe a little bit about the difference from when we go from one kind of reading, the kind that we're normally accustomed to in English language, reading from left to right, down the line, down across the line, down the page, and the mental exercise of extracting meaning from, for example, you know, a page of text, and a very different exercise of extracting meaning from a bunch of symbols stuck in a circle. At one point, maybe it was about 6 or 7, 8 years ago, I was doing one of my spring or autumn video readings, and I got to the end and I realized I'd only used one chart. That is to say, I cast a chart for some central event, and then when I read for Aries, I just put Aries in the ascendant and then turned the chart for Taurus and put Taurus in the ascendant, and then for Gemini, put Gemini in the ascendant. And of course, if you know much about astrology, you know that this will change all the relationships of the signs to the places or houses. I usually call them places. And when you do that, you have different planets ruling each place. So, for example, if the chart is set for Aries rising and you're talking about career, then Cancer is on the career house. And if talking about Taurus rising, if you're reading for career for Aries, then Capricorn is in the 10th place. And if you're reading, and that has one set of expectations and things found in certain houses. And then if you read for Taurus, you put Aquarius on the 10th place. And then that changes basically everything. And this is very efficient, and I was impressed mostly with the efficiency of using a thing with very few symbols written on the page, and somehow able to deliver fresh and original reading for approximately 12 hours. I can't imagine one equivalent paragraph or page of text you could talk about for 12 hours, even a very good poem. With historical significance or impeccable writing. I mean, it would be very hard to give a 12-hour lecture about one poem. And so there is a shift in the consciousness evoked merely from going to phonetic alphabet reading. Our alphabet is not hieroglyphics, it's phonetic. From that, linear, left to right, down the page, to a circular reading of non-phonetic symbols that you can just stick with for a long time. And when you, first of all, I think this is the main difference between reading text and reading astrology. They're both thought of as reading, which Marshall McLuhan astutely points out in one of his books, is a word that includes the meaning guess. Guess what something is by reading, and it is in fact in the etymology of the word read in there is the idea that you're basically guessing. And this is something that is less offensive, I think, to people who are reading text, since text is what we think of as black and white, and it's black letter, and it's in writing, right? If it's in writing, you know that its meaning is clear and not supposed to be subject to interpretation. Certainly in linguistic, rather in market-driven, commerce, 20 bushels of tomatoes is 20 bushels of tomatoes. Unless there's some dispute, you know what it's supposed to mean. There's no dispute. 20 bushels is not 19 bushels, and then the price is written out, and delivery date is written out, and all that is in common language. With astrology, there is no such determinism, but we think incorrectly that there is, and I think that we need to consider the differences between these two forms of, let's say, symbolic notation so that we can know what it is that we are dealing with when we strive to get meaning from a chart. It is also noteworthy that in our time, charts tend to have two main purposes. One is personal astrology charts, which include natal chart, progressed horoscope, transiting planets, and historical events. We don't really read for much else. And most people don't read for historical events either. They might discuss it or dabble in it, but for the most part, when we look at a chart, we're interested in something about a person, something about ourselves often, someone we care about. And this is very sensitive territory because this form of reading and making observations or drawing conclusions can be damaging if things are said that lead a person to believe something about themselves that's not true, to go into a form of self-judgment, or to perceive that they are somehow being judged by the cosmos. So let's consider the two forms of reading, kind of side by side here in this linear audio format. The first form is reading down the page. The thing about reading down the page is, first of all, you expect human authorship. Those words were put down by a person, probably edited by another person, or at least you know that it's human creation. There can be no doubt about that. Even if something is supposedly channeled, you know that it came through a human and was filtered through some form of human intention. With astrology, we are looking at a symbolic representation of a moment in time. That is the purely scientific and truly objective part of the astrological process. Looked at another way, it is also completely random when a child is born or when an event takes place. And so with linear, left to right, phonetic writing, we have a concept of intentional meaning written into the text. When we talk about astrology, reading a chart, we are talking about the meaning being derived, wherever that flows, meaning being derived from a random event where there is no direct human intention possible, because it's not happening at a time that a human chose, when to be born, or the time of an event, or even a horary chart. And so these are two completely different origins to the primary data that we're looking at. The next thing is that when we read text, we are building context as we go, but there is an expectation that each word, sentence, paragraph, page, and chapter will continuously flow into the next. There's an expectation, a reasonable one, of a logical flow of thought. And good writing makes itself clear what it is saying. And with bad writing, it is not clear what is being said, and can even be indeterminate, or can have simultaneously have two meanings and be very confusing, such as in the case of a badly written law that is impossible to decipher what the exact behavior is that is punishable. Okay, so with a chart, we are in a whole different reality where there is no specific, let's say, in advance expectation that the chart will flow in a logical way where every sentence, every word builds on a phrase to a sentence, to a paragraph, to a page or a section, to a chapter, to the whole book or to the whole article. Reading astrology, you kind of slip in and you look for your meaning in a circular fashion. And what this does is create a situation where every element in the chart can relate to every other element in the chart. When you are reading an article or a book, you just generally keep on going, and there might be ideas presented that build in a kind of logical way, but at the same time, you're generally not relating every idea in the text to every other idea in the text. You don't say, "Oh, what's in paragraph 15, and how does that relate to paragraph 18?" With the exception of legal writing, when you're reading almost any other form of writing, you're just following the narrative, and the narrative is generally intentionally created. And so when you were reading an astrology chart, that structured narrative is not there. And in the process of reading, in the style that we read astrology, you are also building your own narrative. And so you bring much more to the reading of an astrology chart. And this is the part that is often completely forgotten when people read an astrology chart, which is that much of the meaning comes from them, which is to say it comes from you. It comes from your various forms of understanding the syntax of the chart, various forms of you bringing in past experience of having seen perhaps something similar, having read something in a book, and then assembling this into a construction, which is your concept of what this chart means, that can actually be read a completely different way by a different person. And then we come back to the question of objective meaning. When reading text, it is generally much easier to come to a place of objective meaning. The syntax is more rigorous. The grammar is more rigorous. Words have definitions. Words and phrases have context. Whereas with astrology, you could be looking at, you know, 50 different things simultaneously, and then ultimately you go through some form of a reasoning process to determine what you think this chart means. And it is worth asking, as many people who are not familiar with astrology might ask, and those who are not familiar, those who are familiar might not ask, is how is that not total anarchy? How is it not just making up what you think this chart means? And it is strictly true that you are making up what you think that chart means. And so the answer to the question of, you know, how do astrologers go from the chart to a pronouncement or a prediction or a judgment or an assessment about that chart is strictly up to the astrologer. It's up to the person reading the chart. There is no objective reading to the chart. But then how is that not total anarchy? Well, it's not total anarchy because there are, depending on the kind of astrology that you are doing, a series of steps that you might go through in order to arrive at that observation or that conclusion. It depends on how, let's say, important or relevant or urgent the pronouncement is, how you might phrase that. But ultimately, the person reading an astrology chart looks at a thing that has no objective meaning and then says something about it which is completely subjective. And I think that that is probably the single most important fact about reading an astrology chart that we need to make peace with at the beginning, so that then we are able to find a creative, disciplined, intellectually respectable way to go from an observation, an astrological fact, the moon's in Scorpio, conjunct Saturn, to saying something about that. And different astrologers will look at that and say very different things. And this is the basis of my idea that there really is no astrology. There are only astrologers saying things about charts. Now, because astrology does require literacy, generally people study astrology by reading books, one of the things that we have to consider is this phenomenon of reading astrology, where you see Venus in Taurus and square the moon in Aquarius, and you might look up Venus in Taurus, and then you might look up the moon in Aquarius, and then you might look up Venus square the moon square Venus properly. The faster planet is said first, and then keep studying the context and looking things up in books that might tell you about each one of those pieces, facets, the planet and the sign, the aspect, and so forth. And you can get into house placement, but that is not actually reading an astrology chart. Reading an astrology chart is something that you just do. You pick up the chart and you start to talk about it. Now, you may need to do some research, but to research everything in the chart is not to read the chart. It's to use the chart more as a study guide. And then you start to read the chart after you've done a lot of this study guide type of reading, remembering that even when we're talking about something like Venus and Taurus or the Moon and Aquarius, there is no objective reading of that. An astrologer who is writing might say something witty or funny or observant based on either a series of experiences or one experience or an energetic observation about what it might mean to have those two planets in that aspect and then how it relates to those signs. But this is not the same as reading something in any book or on a page or in a contract and there being any possibility of a definitive meaning. And because the reading of the circular language is often preceded by initially developing book literacy, text literacy, there is an expectation that the chart will be decipherable through a form of text literacy. That is to say that there's a definitive meaning to Venus and Taurus square the Moon in Aquarius, when no such thing is true, but that false expectation lingers, and part of how it lingers is the mere fact that, you know, most people learn astrology, at least in part, by reading, and then conveying that concept of reading, literacy reading, onto astrology, and forgetting that there is no declarative meaning possible in a chart. There is only relevance of the thing said by the astrologer in the context where the chart exists. And this is a very urgently important point to remember, which is that reading astrology is all about the context of the reading. The chart can point to that to some extent, but a chart for a place and time can have as many charts as there are people in that city. So normally, for example, you'll cast a chart for Brooklyn, a very large city. You don't get that. You don't narrow that down to the block or the even usually the hospital where a person was born. You just say Brooklyn. And so at 12:48 p.m. on July 15th, 1980, in Brooklyn, New York, a lot of different things were happening at the same time. Let's see. You know, there were people late for work and people early for work and people getting hired and people getting fired and people getting married and people getting divorced and all kinds of paperwork flying around and various forms of seemingly boring, uninteresting things going on. But when you cast for whatever time I said, you are going to read that in the context of what you know about the situation for which you are reading, whether it is a person born or the chart for creating a corporation, or the chart of opening a letter, or a business transaction of some kind. And it is going to be the same chart for all of those infinite different events. And so there is no piece of writing that can do that. There is no piece of writing that can be relevant to give what we expect to be detailed information about a person born, a corporation formed, a traffic accident, the formation of a musical act, or, you know, the people shaking hands, creating a Broadway show. All of this can happen at the same time. It will all be the exact same chart. And so one of the things to remember is that when you read a chart, the context in which the chart is set determines the way you will read that chart and bring the meaning to the chart. This is radically different from the way that you read text. If you're reading a poem, I mean, let's say you're reading The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot, that poem is its own context. Now, the poem might be read at a funeral, the poem might be read in a university class, it might be read in a precept group, it might be read by a person sitting, you know, alone in their apartment, it might be read by a graduate student, comparative literature project. But the poem The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot is always going to be the poem The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot, and the context does not change as absolutely as a thing being the chart for the same chart for winning a baseball game and a show being performed and the person getting married and another person getting divorced. Writing is not that interchangeable, and so this is yet another distinction of astrological, the astrological language is that it is entirely dependent upon the context in which that horoscope is set. Now, if you're hearing this go on, you might think, how is it possible that this is not complete bullshit? And I think that that is a reasonable perception, and I don't blame anybody for thinking that it is, particularly given the poor quality of most astrological writing and the statements of most astrologers and the poor critique of astrology by those who critique it, who are often making perfectly fallacious arguments that have nothing to do with what an astrologer is actually doing. But most people learn about what they think astrology is from people who are absolutely lame, uninformed, uneducated, ridiculously uninformed critics serve to misinform the public about what astrology is and is not, and which can lead to a further belief that this is just meaningless. And it is not until you enter the reality field of reading a chart and from the inside of that experience, from the working out the various calculations of the chart, not the mathematical ones, but the cognitive ones. Moon square Venus, what's that about? Well, what's the context of the chart? What then in that context does the moon represent, and what does Venus represent, and so forth? And you start to go through that process in context with some experience or guidance, that you can see this incredible thing start to emerge. And that incredible thing being either the ability to analyze the situation, the ability to look at the possible future implications of something, the ability to sort out one point of view from another point of view, guidance making a decision, and to be doing so with deepening understanding that you know is not speculative. It may not be objective. It may not be provable. It may not be strictly definable. But when you're actually in the chart and reading the chart and you actually start to see the combinations of things and the patterns of things that are forming, that you experience this kind of miracle of what astrology is able to do and what astrology is able to convey. The thing to remember at all times is that astrology is a product of consciousness. That consciousness can be informed or misinformed by many different things. It can be better informed or lesser informed. It can be, honest and sincere or deceptive, whatever. But it is always a subjective interpretation of something rather than the assertion of an absolutely factual truth about something or about anything. Okay, so this is a good pausing point. There's been lots of, I have felt them go by, lots of concepts and ideas have gone by, and this, I think, sets the context for these two different things that we call reading. One being the original reading text and the other being this new thing that we are aspiring to do and studying to do and really wanting to learn how to do, which is to derive meaning from an astrological chart. Okay, in a little bit, we'll go on and start to contemplate how else that is done.